We've been talking about change. This is the fifth in a series of what change does. And I will tell you that we are in the second half. So if you do the math, well, there must be eight of these then. We've been talking about how change stretches, is how we started. And we talk about change allows us to become children of God. Change restarts, and that happened to be our first Sunday back, but we can restart because of the change that's in our lives. We talked last week about the intention of change, how we're salt and light to the world, and Jesus came to fulfill the law. And today we're talking about change produces. And if you haven't figured out what change is God. So almost we can interchange that word with the word God. What God does in the midst of change is another way of putting the title of our series. And our overarching scripture is from Isaiah chapter 55 and verses 8 through 18. But he talks about how his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And how his word goes forth. And he says, it will not return back to me empty. It goes out and does exactly what I intend for it to do. And as we think about what change does, we think of those words from God through the prophet Isaiah. Our scripture today speaks of a new covenant, a relationship with God that produces action in our lives. And as we read from Jeremiah, I ask that you would stand as we honor the reading of God's word. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. The word of God for the people of God. When we think about this new covenant, we know that there are several scriptures that speak of the new covenant, and Jeremiah is, I think, the only one in the Old Testament that speaks of the new covenant directly, using those words, the new covenant. There are many other scriptures that point to Jesus and point to what was coming in what we know as the Gospels and the New Testament. But there are other scriptures throughout that, while they don't mention the new covenant by name, they talk about this covenant, this new type of relationship that we have with God. And we find things in Luke and Corinthians and Hebrews and many other places. But it's about this relationship that we have with God and man. It's a covenant. We know of covenants. We don't use that word so much. It's used with lawyers a little bit. It's a legal type of thing, covenants are. But the marriage covenant, we don't really use it that way, but that's what it is. It's a covenant of one party to the other and making promise that this relationship is something that we want to have with one another. And that's what it is with God and man. He has established covenants over the time. And we see here in our scripture today him speaking of a new covenant. One that was going to not be like the old one. Now the old one probably overall is probably the one from Moses. But to think about old covenants, there were several of them through the Old Testament. There was the covenant with Adam. There was a covenant with Noah. There's a covenant with Abraham, with Moses, and even with David. And each of those had their own slant. Adam, to be caretakers of God's creation. And with Noah, he promised that he would never destroy the world again by flood. And we see that that covenant still revealed to us through the rainbow that we see. With Abraham, his descendants were going to be as large as the grains of sand on the seashore. And Moses, the where we usually think of the covenant through the law. And then David, the covenant of an everlasting throne that would come from the lineage of David. In all of those covenants, the new replaces them. That isn't really replacing them, but it's replacing them by completing them, by fulfilling them. We talked about that last week. Jesus said, I came to fulfill the Old Testament. I came to fulfill the law and the prophets. Jesus came in the new covenant to complete and to fulfill all of those covenants, where God here in Jeremiah is telling us that I'm going to do a new covenant to do away with the old. Now, those old covenants didn't go away in principle. This new one fulfills all of them. And it's fulfilled in Jesus. It's mediated by Jesus as we read through Scripture. It is active through Jesus, through His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It's how we come to know of this covenant. And that's the relationship we have with God, then, is through Jesus. He's the one that allows us access directly into God the Father. And sometimes we forget, it's not, as we talked about last week, it's not going through this whole list of things that we have to do. It's concentrating on Him and making that relationship with Him. He's the one that gets us to the throne. He's the one that gets us to the Father. I heard a story just this morning about a soldier who was sitting outside of the White House, and he was sobbing. And this little boy came up and said, "What, sir, what's wrong?" And he said, "Oh, I was hoping to get in to see President Lincoln. I have some news I need to share with him, but they won't let me in." And this little boy took the soldier by the hand and said, "Come with me." And they walked past the sentry. They walked through the front door. They made their way to the Oval Office and walked in. And the little boy said, "Dad, this soldier needs to talk to you." That's what we have in Jesus. He's the mediator of this new covenant. This new covenant is fulfilled in Him. And this new covenant, this relationship we have with God and mankind, this relationship not only as mankind altogether, but us as individuals, this relationship is through Jesus. And we can be more productive spiritually by prioritizing on Jesus rather than trying to balance all our, what we think are multiple priorities. That's not something new that you've heard me say. I know it's hard for me to practice, so I'm assuming it's probably hard for you to practice. But if Jesus, God, that covenant relationship we have with Him is our priority, He helps us balance everything else out. Sometimes we want to balance things and God is in the balance of all of that. No. Make that covenant the most important relationship, and He helps balance everything else. He helps us be more productive in our spiritual walk. One way God shares in our Scripture today is that He's going to do it from the inside out. The old covenants were all physical manifestations. The new covenant is spiritual. It's from the inside out. And we talked about that briefly last week. And we talked about it at other times as well. But everything that God's wanting to do with us in this covenant relationship that we have, He wants to do it in this new covenant from the inside out. He tried to sway everybody with all the external things. And sometimes we got it, and sometimes we didn't. He said, "I'm going to have this new covenant that does everything from the inside out." He moved and He used Egypt as the example in our Scripture today. But we also see this in the New Testament when He says that we're His temple. It is no longer the temple in Jerusalem where God shows up. God shows up in each of us. And we've learned that as we've talked about the Holy Spirit at times over the years. He's within each of us. And the New Testament says we are His temple. He resides in us. He resides in His church. And when I say church, I don't mean the building. I mean us as the church who come and gather. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way, that just like the high priest in the Old Testament, we read about him going in one day a year to bring the sacrifice of atonement into the Holy of Holies, the presence of God where the Ark of Covenant was. The writer of Hebrews says that's what Jesus does for us spiritually. He goes into the spiritual Holy of Holies. And He's our high priest. His sacrifice on the cross allows Him to do that. It's His sacrifice that He offers there. It's a spiritual temple. And as I mentioned in our Scripture today, Egypt was used as an example. God says, "I'm going to move beyond the way I physically manifested myself before the people. I'm going to move beyond just having leadership in front of you, like Moses and Aaron and others and Joshua as they entered the promised land. And we still need leaders like that. But he said, I'm going to move beyond that. He said, I'm going to move beyond having a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. I'm going to move beyond that my presence is somehow in the distance and you just have to follow me. I'm moving beyond that in the new covenant. I'm going to do it from the inside out. Rather than just having external leadership, rather than just having an external presence. And all that still happens. He didn't do away with it. He said, that's just not going to be my primary way to do it. He's promising that he'll put his law on our minds, on our hearts. Getting away from the checklist. I know there's some in this room, I'm not going to name names, who work from a checklist. And it's good to have checklists because they focus us on that. But as we shared about last week, the problem in the spiritual realm, as we try to follow the law, as the Pharisees went down their 639 checklist, they were more focused on the checklist than they were on why God had them there in the first place. And God says, I'm going to change that. I'm going to do it from the inside out. We don't need teachers necessarily. Teachers are good to share us and help us and get us on the right track when we need that help. But God says, I'm doing this new covenant in a way that you're going to know who I am. I'm going to change you from the inside out. And it is the Holy Spirit who then guides us to still be within the parameters of the law, but not, whew, I'm down to 12. What's the math on that? 600 and some odd to go, you know. The Holy Spirit will guide us. Maybe one thing you notice in the law or in the Bible, if you just want to look at the Bible in general, should I go see this movie? Should I read this book? You won't find that specific answer in the law or in the Bible. But if you ask the Holy Spirit, he'll tell you. If you seek him out for guidance, he'll let you know. You know, this isn't something you ought to really partake in. This isn't something you ought to be doing. In fact, if we really listen, he'll start telling us, this is what I want you to do. This is what you ought to be doing. But we get so hung up on the Pharisees and legalistic folks, even yet today, are more hung up on the list than they are on the one who's wanting to change us from the inside out. He's still going to honor the list, but not as a checklist, but as writing on our hearts and putting in our minds what it is we're to be doing to meet God's requirements. God says to each of us, let me produce newness in your mind and in your heart. Almost like, I know I'm from a computer background, it's almost like, and I wanted to use the word upgrade, but I think God really wants to overwrite our firmware, the thing that makes us run. He's looking for more than an upgrade. He wants to overwrite from the inside out on our hearts and on our minds and produce that newness in our lives. The other thing we see in our scripture here, God says, in that new covenant, they're going to know me. Now, it's not book knowledge, and it's certainly good to have book knowledge about God. It's certainly good to read his word and to read other things that supplement what we can read here to see what the Hebrew might have really said and how we've translated that to English or the Greek in the New Testament. All those things are wonderful, but God's not waiting to give us a quiz on that kind of stuff. When he says, they're going to know me, what he is saying is they're going to experience me and know me in that way. Paul says in Romans 12 to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. Some of our English translations translate that as give him our reasonable act of worship in making that sacrifice. And over those next couple of verses there in Romans chapter 12, he says, and when you begin to do that, he will renew your mind and you will find yourself within the will of God because you will know him. You will experience him. He knows us already, and he wants us to know him. Yes, others can assist us, but if we're really, truly seeking God, he will reveal himself as we experience him, as we walk with him each day. And we do learn. Paul, many of us know him. He's wrote, I want to say 12 or 13 letters. I apologize, I don't know the exact number, but he wrote a number of letters in the New Testament to us. And most of us think, wow, Paul, he was something. Once he got over the road to Damascus incident, right? He had little problems before then. He wasn't quite on the right road, and Jesus confronted him there. But boy, he has so much in his letters. And I heard coming in today, David Jeremiah was the one that was sharing it, but he said, just look how Paul changed. Sometimes we think we just come in, once we have that experience with him, the initial experience, whoop, I'm done. I'm on my way to heaven, and I just sort of go along for the ride. No, God wants us to know him and experience him. And just four examples to run through Paul's life that David Jeremiah shared this morning. He said, the first letter that he wrote was to the Galatians, and when he opened it, it says, I, Paul, an apostle. And a few years later, he wrote the Corinthian letter, 1 Corinthian letter, and he says, I, Paul, the least of the apostles. Something had changed. And a few years later, he wrote to the Ephesians, and as he opened, he said, I, Paul, one of the saints of God, and even the least of them. Now he's even claiming to be an apostle. He's saying, I'm just one of the believers. And in his last letter to Timothy, he said, I, Paul, a sinner and the worst of them. He came to realize over that time frame, you know, I'm only here because of the grace of God. Because if I really look at who I am, and we all need to do that, it is by his grace that he says, I have a new covenant with my people, and I want them to know me, and they will know me. They will experience me. And you see that happen with Paul just in those four letter examples of how he introduces himself. He came to know God even more. So it's not, I was baptized back when I was seven and things are good. I was baptized back when I was seven, and things just keep getting better in that relationship, in that covenant with God. I hope that we each can share that, and it's not too late if that's not been happening, to experience God. That's his desire in this new covenant that we read about in our scripture, Jeremiah, today. Walking with God each day, not visiting him every once in a while, but walking with him every single day, each hour of the day, will produce a relationship full of experiences. The new covenant produces experiences with God. And as we finish up our scripture in Jeremiah this morning, as God has been sharing about this new covenant, he says, part of that new covenant, I'm going to forgive and forget. I'm going to forgive every single one who comes to that covenant. I'm going to forgive them of their wickedness. But I'm going to do more than that. God says, and I will remember their sin no more. Do we do that? Yeah, I forgive you, but boy, I'm going to keep that in the back pocket just in case, right? That's how we usually do it. He's the best promise maker of all time because he never breaks his promises. I will forgive their sin and remember them no more. He forgives and forgets. And we know that is because Jesus is the one who fulfilled the new covenant. He's the one that brought it into being, and he did it through his shed blood. Forgiveness from God has always come by the shedding of blood. And that was no different as we find forgiveness in this new covenant that Jeremiah speaks to. What's different? Well, it's not the blood of animals like it was the old way. It's the blood of Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus says, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. That's the overarching mission of the new covenant. Forgiveness of sin and God's wiping his memory of them. This new covenant produces new life. It produces a newness of life in us. And as we talked about a couple weeks ago, it can do that every single day. He does it by working on us from the inside out as we walk with him each and every day.